This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good evening, Bahamas. This is urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto, and it's a pleasure for you to be joining me today. Together, we rise to a healthier place, and knowledge is key, and the wealth of the nation is the health of the nation. So we're trying to get to a healthier you, or where we're going to have longevity, and not just longer years on this earth, but a better quality years on this earth, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So urologists, we deal with men, women, and children. There's a lot of misconception out there that we only deal with men. But we deal with anything related to the urogenital system, and that includes from premature male and female infants all the way to adults in advanced age in their 90s and going on beyond. So at one point, it's said that everyone needs to see a urologist for one reason or the other. And unfortunately, men, particularly in this country, never seek any form of health care, never go for their annual physicals. They ignore signs. They know something's going wrong. It can be anything from feeling fatigued, putting on weight, having constant headaches, urinating frequently throughout the day and the night. And they're just going to ignore it, and it's just going to mushroom out of control, and their abnormal, unfortunately, becomes their normal. And they suffer needlessly. A lot of it is ignorance. A lot of it is fear. But we need to put an end to it. Knowledge is key. If you know that other people are going through it, and in many cases, it's an inevitable part of getting older. If you seek help, and it's always in a confidential manner, we can get you back on track. We can get you feeling more vitality. We can get your erections back. We can allow you to live longer. We can prevent you from having that surprising heart attack or stroke that no one saw coming. But if you were to look at what was happening throughout the years to your body, you can see there was deterioration going on slowly but surely. And the fact that you didn't go for an annual physical for many years, a lot of things go on unchecked. And there's no excuse. Even if you don't have insurance, there's a National Health Insurance NHI scheme where you get to see a primary practitioner, a general practitioner, free of cost, where you're going to get your annual bloods, you're going to get your physicals, you're going to get your imaging. There's always someone available to you. You're going to get your medications for non-communicable diseases. You don't have to worry about paying for medication for your hypertension, your diabetes, for your enlarged prostate, for cancer treatment, etc. So there is absolutely no reason for you not to find the time, even if it's 1 hour or 45 minutes out of a year, to look out for your health. And it's not just you. You'll, in many cases, as the adult, if you're a female or a male, you may be the one of the primary breadwinners of the family. So if you go down, 1 second, the finances are in disarray. You become a physical, emotional liability to your family when you were the basically the breadwinner who was keeping everything together. So even if it's for your wife or spouse or for your grandchildren or for your daughter, your nephew, your niece, please don't put that burden on them of dealing with something that could have been prevented. So I'm always going to stress preventative medicine. Let's stop being reactionary. Let's make sure that things that could have been avoided are avoided. There's too much in the way of, we're a very unhealthy nation. We have too much in the way of hypertension, diabetes, obesity, high cholesterol, coronary artery disease, and it has to stop, and it needs to start at an early age, even from infancy, even from the time of antenatal care in pregnancy. We need to make sure that our pregnant women are eating right, they're getting exercise, they're going for the antenatal checkups, that they're not overeating. When the child is born, making sure that they eat a healthy diet, that they are breastfed, that they get some form of exercise when they're walking and when they're become a toddler. We can prevent our nation or the next generation from having an overwhelming incidence of diabetes or hypertension or obesity, because obesity starts young. When you're an obese infant, you have a greater likelihood of being an obese child, an obese teenager, an obese young adult, obese in middle age. So if we can start early with education and being preventative and preventing unhealthy habits where you have a very sedentary lifestyle, where you don't get any exercise, you don't participate in any sports, and then even talking about mental exercise, we need to encourage our young kids to read, not watching TV, not playing video games day in and day out. Obviously, everything in moderation, and obviously that's a wonderful outlet. But please, let's encourage our young children to read, to let their mental acuity rise to the highest level possible even at a young age. Let's encourage the thirst for knowledge at a young age. Let's encourage homework. When parents collect their kids, they need to know what is the homework, and they have to say, what homework do we have? So you allow the child to foster an environment at home where they're encouraged to strive for excellence, where they're going to be diligent, where they're going to want to study, when they're going to want to do their homework on time. And then as parents, we need to check that homework. We need to encourage our children in areas where they may be falling short. And we'll just be a better nation if we have education stress early on in life, particularly for young men. It's discouraging to know that most honor rolls from elementary school to high school are basically the majority of the students are female. And it's just getting worse and worse over the years. And it's a lot of it has to do with the mentality where it's discouraged, in fact, to the point of bullying in many schools, where if a young man thrives in education, academically does well, it's frowned upon. They're singled out. They're have less and less support from their classmates, and it's something that should be encouraged. They should be held in the highest regard because they're doing well academically. And if you look at it later in life, those who have a better life, a better opportunity, it all starts with education. Education allows you to have opportunities that you never thought you could have possible, where you can have a better future for your children than you ever had for yourself just through education. You can see the world. You can get opportunities, not just financially, but you can have a career where you're going to have fulfillment doing something that you love, where it's stimulating mentally. Other than if you waste your years in elementary school, primary school, high school, your future is not going to be that bright. And unfortunately, many young men find that out too late. They're coming out of high school without the basic skills. They're reading at a subpar level. They have no skills to actually go off to university, to go off to college, to get a professional degree, to see the world. And they're limiting themselves, unfortunately, because of the mentality that we have in the society that having education as a paramount importance in your life is something particularly for young men that's frowned upon even within families. And we got to turn that around. So I'm going to go off on this little diatribe, but we're going to talk about some particularly important and very fundamental topics today. The first one we're going to talk about, and it's for the men, and that's going to be andropause, which is male menopause. And that is an actual entity. And thousands of men in this country, unfortunately, suffer needlessly from the male version of menopause, andropause. They don't understand what's going on with them. They know that they're feeling fatigued all the time. They know they're putting on weight. Their personality can change. They're more irritable. They're depressed. They have sleep disorders. They basically cannot recognize the man in the mirror. They don't have any energy to do anything. They can become withdrawn from the society, from within the family. It can lead to marital discord. And a lot of it has to do with the inner workings of the body in terms of, I'm going to discuss in greater detail, sleep apnea, which is also a pandemic in this country. A lot of persons in this country don't even understand what obstructive or central sleep apnea is and what are the terrible ill health effects of that. And we're also going to talk about the link between testosterone and erectile dysfunction and low sexual libido. For the women, at the ending part of the hour, I'm going to talk about overactive bladder. So 1 in 3 women, unfortunately, suffer from overactive bladder, which can cause them to have a complete deterioration in terms of the quality of their life, both socially and professionally. You can only imagine that you drink anything and you gotta have to run to urinate with severe urinary urgency within 10 minutes, within 15 minutes, within 20 minutes. Many times these women have such severe overactive bladder that they avoid drinking any liquids when they're out of the house. They stop drinking water or any liquids at 5 o'clock and they're going to bed dehydrated and miserable because they know even if they have a glass of water at 8 o'clock, they're going to be waking up 5 times in the night to urinate. It goes to the point where they're going to have either urge urinary incontinence where they're going to have leakage of urine because they just don't make it to the toilet in time, or they're going to have stress urinary incontinence where every time they exert any increased intra-abdominal pressure or make any strenuous activity or simply cough or laugh or sneeze, they're going to have because of a weakness in the pelvic musculature, they're going to have a leakage of urine. So there are too many women unnecessarily, and I'm going to stress this, unnecessarily living their life with a panty liner or pad because they're afraid that anytime they have any kind of activity, particularly if they go to the gym or if they walk or they run, or as simple as you going to pick up your grandchild or laughing with friends, you're going to leak some urine and then it's going to cause a deterioration in quality of life. You're going to cause you to have self-esteem. You're going to be very self-aware. You're going to perceive yourself as always smelling like urine. You're going to withdraw from your partner. You're not going to want to go out into public. You're going to live your life based on where is the next bathroom. That's no way to live. You're going to be afraid to have a glass of wine with friends. You're going to be afraid to have a cup of coffee in the morning. You can't live like that. Never let the bladder control your life. You can always regain control of your bladder and regain control of your happiness. All you got to do is seek the help of a urologist. We can get you dry. We can, whether it's through behavior modifications, whether it's through administering physiotherapy or providing medications or even minimally invasive procedures. And when I say minimally invasive, I'm not exaggerating. We're talking about procedures for example, for women with stress urinary incontinence. We can do that as an outpatient on a long lunch hour and you can go right back to work and do away with the pads forever. No more leakage when you laugh, you sneeze, you cough. No more running to the toilet all the time because every time you drink something, you have to run with urgency. You can go out into traffic and not worry that, you know what, I just have to stay at work an extra hour and a half because, you know, if I'm in traffic and I have to pee, I'm in trouble. Men have it a lot easier because, unfortunately, some men have gone to the abnormal that they actually drive with a container to urinate in. Or they wake up so many times in the night that they just don't have even the energy to wake up and physically walk to the toilet to urinate because it happens so many times. And as soon as they go and fall back asleep, they got to wake up again. So they're going to have a bucket at the side of the bed. That is no quality of life. That you're losing your dignity. You're letting your bladder control your life and rob you of your happiness and rob you of the 7 hours of good quality sleep that you need. So I'm talking about sleep. So let me use that to as an entry into the talk of obstructive sleep apnea. This is an overwhelming problem in this country. So there's so many men and women, and it affects men and women, who don't even know that obstructive sleep apnea is an entity. And it's something that is pervasive in the society. It can destroy the quality of your life in so many levels, which I will get into. But it also can exponentially increase your risk of getting a heart attack or a stroke. So it's not just that you're feeling fatigued all the time because you don't have that good quality sleep, or because your testosterone as a male is falling every single night instead of being replenished when you're supposed to be in REM sleep, which is deep, rapid eye movement sleep. You're basically feeling like a zombie all the time. You're waking up many times with a slight headache. You're feeling fatigued all the time. It can get to the point where every time you sit down, you're falling asleep. Every time you're driving, you're fighting sleep, which is a danger to you. It's a danger to society. It's a danger to pedestrians, to other drivers, to the loved ones that you're driving in your car. I've had patients who admit when I discuss obstructive sleep apnea and its ill effects on their life and the deterioration in the quality of their life, they admit that they almost fall asleep and they almost hit a tree when they're driving because they're so fatigued. Or they literally fall asleep at a stop sign because they're so fatigued. Or they have to pull over to the side of the road, and when they wake up, they're alarmed because they don't even remember where they are. That is no way to live. That's living on the edge. That's living on the razor's edge. And something eventually terrible is going to happen that could be life-shattering, whether it's taking a life, having a horrible traffic accident, and having serious harm to you or to a loved one. Stop living a life like that. So to understand what sleep apnea is, patients who have obstructive sleep apnea, which we call, abbreviate as OSA, there are two types of sleep. There's rapid eye movement sleep, and there's non-rapid eye movement sleep. When you have REM sleep, that's the deep sleep. That's the quality of sleep. So you can sleep for 10 hours and have non-REM sleep and feel like a zombie. You can wake up and feel more fatigued than when you first went to sleep. You need that REM sleep. And during REM sleep, the deep REM rapid eye movement sleep where you dream, where the testosterone as a male that you use up throughout the day is replenished. If you don't have that, your testosterone is going to fall every night. If you don't have that, you're not getting that quality sleep. You're going to have disruptive sleep. And it's going to have a horrible effect on you because not only is your testosterone falling, but you're going to be at risk for many things such as metabolic syndrome, where you're going to have a higher percentage of the visceral fat around your abdomen. So all of a sudden, you feel like you have a bear belly. You probably don't even drink beer. And you don't understand why, because you're watching your diet, you're getting exercise, but you just can't lose that 30 extra pounds that all of a sudden you put on. You're having a greater risk of developing type 2 diabetes because of the obesity, because of the low testosterone, because of the obstructive sleep apnea that puts you in the metabolic syndrome. You can have an increase in the cortisol level, which is a stress hormone. That can have a negative impact on your life. And then you can have hypogonadism, which is just the medical term for low testosterone. So when you have obstructive sleep apnea, essentially you have reduced deep sleep time. You have increased nighttime awakenings. You have sleep fragmentation. And when you when put all this together, basically you have a reduction in your testosterone level as a male. And repeatedly, essentially what happens is when you're sleeping, you suffer from brief interruptions during sleep. And during these interruptions, that's when the muscles in the back of the throat fail to maintain the airway. So basically, the airway becomes obstructed. The oxygen supply is deprived to all of your organs. You develop momentary hypoxia, insufficient oxygen supply to your important organs, which include your brain and your heart and your liver and every other important organ. And this basically will inhibit a person's ability to breathe for as many times, 10 seconds at a time. And this may happen multiple times within a minute. It may happen multiple times within an hour. But essentially, you're going to feel like a shell of your former self because you're deteriorating from the inside out. And then for those times that you stop breathing, every time that happens, when you don't have sufficient oxygen to your brain, the ill effects of that and effects on the heart are long-lasting. That's why you have a considerable risk of developing heart attack or stroke. So if you want to avoid having heart attack or stroke, you got to treat the obstructive sleep apnea. If you want to improve your quality of life and your vitality, and it's not just your erections that are going to be affected, men, it's your cognitive ability. It's your memory. You're going to be prone to depression. You're going to be prone to irritability. As I mentioned, you're going to be in the male version of menopause where you're going to have hot flashes. You're going to put on weight all of a sudden. You're going to have to shave less often. You're going to lose hair that you had on your hair, on your arms and your legs. Or you're going to lose muscle mass. If you go to the gym, you're not going to have as much endurance as you once did. You're not going to do as many reps as you once did. You're going to be, if you walk, you're not going to be able to walk as long without becoming fatigued. And all of that is going to affect your quality of life, and it's going to affect your longevity. So if you have any of these symptoms, please seek help. Don't suffer needlessly, because it's a mushroom effect. It's just going to get out of hand, and it's going to get worse and worse, because if you're obese, you're going to have a greater risk of obstructive sleep apnea. And if you have obstructive sleep apnea, it's going to make the obesity worse. It's just going to make the low testosterone worse, and it's going to be a vicious cycle that you'll never get out of. So men are going to feel fatigued and withdrawn mentally, physically, emotionally, all because of this low testosterone and this fragmented sleep and this lack of REM deep sleep. So there are two reasons that you're going to feel washed out, fatigued, drained all of the time. You're going to feel all of a sudden you're going to be put on 40 pounds, 50 pounds, some men 70, 80 pounds. You got to change your whole wardrobe. You're going to feel low self-esteem. You're going to have a poor body self-image. And to walk around with that extra 50, 60, 70 pounds is going to take a toll on you as well. You're going to not going to be able to do as many physical things as you once wanted to do and you used to do. So you're going to feel old before your time, and it's an unnecessary thing that's happening to thousands of men in this country, and not only women, but men, and even teenagers or preteens who are overweight in particular. So even if it's your child that you see that's putting on weight considerably and you see them snoring and feeling fatigued all the time, seek help for them as well. There are dozens and hundreds of teenagers who also have obstructive sleep apnea as well. So the most important thing is that it can affect persons of all ages. It can affect men and it can affect women. And the consequences are disastrous. And once you get into that box where you have obstructive sleep apnea, it's hard to get out of it unless you seek help, because you're not understanding what's happening to you. All you know is that you feel fatigued all the time. I'll talk further on this and other topics on the other end of the break. Thank you. This is Urologist Speaks with Bahamian urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto.
Gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge, so we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can. one.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. This is Urologist Speaks with famed urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto. This is Guardian Radio 96.9. This is an interactive show. Please feel free to text us on the radio text line at 422-4796, or you can call us at 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 326-4259 or call toll-free from the Family Islands at 242-300-5720. Okay, so we're going to switch topics now. We're going to talk about overactive bladder, which unfortunately afflicts as many as 1 in 3 women. Where women know what I'm talking about, the bladder controls their life and deteriorates the quality of their life and affects them professionally, socially. How can you go on a date if every 15 minutes you got to urinate? How can you be in a boardroom or work in a bank that every 20 minutes you got to go and make a mad dash to urinate, and if you don't make it, you're going to be leaking urine and you're going to feel like you smell like urine all day long and at work. It's no way to live, and it doesn't have to happen. There's so many things that can be done to get you back control of your bladder. And when we talk about what is overactive bladder, it's a broad term, but essentially you shouldn't have to urinate more than 8 times during the day. And you don't want to have to wake up more than twice in the night. And that's called nocturia. Because it's very important, as I mentioned, to have at least 7 hours of good sleep. So sometimes we're our own worst enemies. So anytime either a male or a female will come into my office, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to reiterate that obviously everything that's said to me stays in this office. There's no need for embarrassment. This is a confidential space where I'm going to support you and we're going to come to a solution no matter what the problem is. There's nothing embarrassing about going through something. The greatest shame is actually suffering in silence. So if 1 in 3 women have overactive bladder, you're not alone. And some women have had marriages fall apart. They had to stop working because they basically have to live around a bathroom where they're social shut-ins because they can't go to any events. They can't drive anywhere because every second they have to urinate and they never empty their bladder. And for overactive bladder, it might just have that severe urge they got to go urinate. And when they got to go, it's only a little bit and it can be very frustrating. But essentially, you want to make sure that you're well hydrated. That's important. Even from the urology point of view, you don't want to make kidney stones. But to go to the extreme where you got to drink 100 gallons of water because you think it's going to make your kidneys healthier or your hearts healthier, all you're going to do is cause yourself to live around the toilet and frustrate yourself. So you want to aim for 8 ounces of fluids, water, or a healthy drink. So that's 64 ounces a day. Obviously, they're different individuals who have different circumstances where maybe they're perspiring. They're working in the sun all day. Maybe they may be on diuretics where they're causing them to, you need to increase their intake because of that, or maybe a medical condition where you need to increase your fluid intake. But the average individual, we just need to aim for 64 ounces a day, sometimes even less. But we need to avoid bladder irritants. There are things in their diet that can cause us to have our bladder to be aggravated and cause us to have a bladder that makes us want to urinate all the time. And many of the common things are caffeine or alcohol or liquids that contain citric acid or even soda. Carbonated beverages, they also contain caffeine. So many patients will say, why am I waking up all night to urinate? And then I ask, are you drinking Lipton tea with caffeine just before you go to bed? Yes. Why do you not have your mind fall asleep? Why are you stimulated and wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and can't fall asleep? Because you're having the caffeine. So think about what you're drinking. It's very important because it can affect you in so many ways. And obviously, you want to limit your alcohol intake. We, as a nation, we consume too high a volume of alcohol, and that can have disastrous consequences. Obviously, it can deteriorate the quality of our life. It can make us become belligerent and angry, and anytime we're going to be reliant on any substance, whether it's legal or illegal, it's going to control our life, and it can affect our relationships. It can affect your relationship with your wife. It can affect your relationship with your husband or your children, and you don't want to deteriorate the quality of your family life because of your reliance on alcohol. And too many of us in our society rely on alcohol to self-medicate, to deal with past disasters, or to deal with unresolved issues, or to deal with depression or stress or anxiety. There are many outlets for that. There are wonderful psychologists, there are psychiatrists, there are counselors, there are group support groups, there are church groups who can provide support. You don't have to go through anything alone. And the most important thing is that you need to have the confidence to admit that there is a problem and that you can seek help and that you know that there are others who are going through the same thing. We only have one life to live. Why spend decades of that suffering needlessly for anything, whether it's a physical ailment or if it's an emotional or psychological issue that you're dealing with? So never let the bladder control your life, men, women, or children. I've said it many times, and almost every single day, I'll see a teenager or a preteen who basically you can see them when they come in the office, they're withdrawn, they have low self-esteem, they may have issues with anxiety or depression. And even before it's relayed to me what's going on, I'm already attuned to that. It's probably because of bedwetting. Which was called nocturnal enuresis. Imagine a 15-year-old who's been wetting the bed for 9 straight years every single night. What is the toll on them emotionally, psychologically? What is the toll on that family financially to be washing sheets every night, for the parents not to get a good night's sleep, for the siblings to be disturbed every night, for the child who needs to have their rest to be able to concentrate in school, waking up 3 times in the night to change their underwear, to change the sheets, turn over the mattress. It's a horrible way to live, and it doesn't have to happen. There are many causes for bedwetting, but for primary nocturnal enuresis, many times all it takes is to take a medication once a night and you can be dry. So these are preteens and teens who never go on field trips. They never have sleepovers. When it's the time where it's fundamental for them to develop their personality, to develop self-esteem, to see their own self-worth, it's negatively impacted because they're wetting the bed. They may have a 6-year-old sister who doesn't wet the bed, and they're, as a 16-year-old, wetting the bed every single night. And they're afraid of being teased. They're afraid, and many times siblings are unknowingly are doing grievous harm to their older sibling by teasing them as well. A a lot of the parents are very angry all the time because they feel that this is a behavioral problem where the child is not bothering to wake up to urinate, and it's not. It's basically an issue where the brain isn't waking you up, and it's allowing you to empty your bladder when you're asleep. And for the parents who are blaming the child, just be aware, studies have shown for decades conclusively that almost 2/3 of cases of bedwetting, it's inherited. So it's either the mother or the father of this child who also went through nocturnal enuresis or bedwetting in their younger years. So there's no need to blame anyone. It's nobody's fault. It happens. It's very common, as many as 1 in 7, 1 in 8 preteens and teens go through bedwetting. But it doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to happen at all. It might be related to even constipation. If you're constipated and you have a rectum full of stool pressing on the bladder, that can also lead to urinary issues where urgency or leakage or incontinence. As women get older and they start to have their period and they may have uterine fibroids, particularly in black men and particularly in the Caribbean, there's a high incidence of uterine fibroids. Fibroids, just like a pregnant uterus, are going to be an extrinsic compression on your bladder, and it's going to cause you to feel like you got to pee all the time. Just like women who are pregnant have to pee all the time, women with large uterine fibroids have to pee all the time. And in medicine, I always bring to the point, you have to treat the root cause. So if that means treating the uterine fibroids to allow you to get control of your bladder, that's what you need to do. If you need to treat your constipation to stop you from having urinary incontinence or overactive bladder, that's what you need to do. If we need to change what you drink or the volume of liquid you drink or when you drink it, then that's what we need to do. But there's always a solution, no matter what, how dire the circumstance. And if you feel like you're depressed all the time, you're anxious all the time, you're socially awkward, you're withdrawn from society because you think the bladder is controlling your life, please stop it. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Urologists are readily available to help you. We can get you back in control of your bladder. If you're a male, particularly middle age, it's more common for your urinary symptoms to be related to a benign enlargement of your prostate, which is an inevitable part of getting older, where there's going to be a restriction in your flow, or you're going to be waking up many times in the night to urinate when there's going to be a little bit of urinary hesitancy. You go to the toilet and you may wait 30 seconds just to initiate the stream. And then when you think you finish, you walk away from the toilet and you're dribbling away. And you got to go change your underwear and you feel depressed and want to know what's happening with your body. In most cases, and it's an inevitable part of advancing age, it's benign prostate hyperplasia. We also have a very high incidence of non-communicable diseases in this country. Diabetes is one of the primary ones. And when you have diabetes that's undiagnosed or poorly controlled, you can develop, whether you're a child, whether you're a male or a female, you can develop a diabetic bladder, essentially. It's called diabetic cystopathy, where the nerves that allow you to contract and empty your bladder are impaired, where the sensory nerves that allow you to feel when your bladder is full is impaired, and you basically have a bladder that's not functioning like it should. So you're going to have a full bladder all the time that you're not able to empty. You don't even have the sensation that you're going to pee. It's going to lead to back pressure on your kidneys called hydronephrosis, which can lead to acute kidney injury, or if it's long-standing, even chronic renal failure. And there are dozens and dozens of adults, male and female, in this country who are on dialysis just because their diabetes was uncontrolled or their hypertension was uncontrolled. So the last thing you want to do is to be getting dialysis, where you got to wake up 4 o'clock in the morning 3 times a week, where you have to go in and out of hospital because you're trying to get dialysis access by getting an arterial venous AV fistula, or you're waiting for a kidney transplant, where even when you get a kidney transplant, that's not the end of it. Most kidney transplants only last 10, 12 years, and you're on immunosuppressive drugs that put you at risk for so many illnesses out there, such as even pneumonia, because you're immunosuppressed, you can get infections, and it's difficult to fight them. It's a horrible deterioration in the quality of your life, and you don't have to do that. So listen to your body. If you're a female, don't let the bladder control your life. If you're a male, don't let the bladder control your life. And if your child is wetting the bed, your child is coming back from school with wet underwear or wet pants, and they're being teased at school, and they're being ostracized, we can find a solution for you. Where teachers are complaining because your child is asking every single period, they have to go and run in and urinate, and if the teacher doesn't allow them to go, they're going to wet themselves again. That's no way to live. You don't want your child to have to go through that social awkwardness and be ostracized and have low self-esteem and be depressed because they're wetting their bed at night, or they're, worse yet, they're going out into public and being labeled the wetter and smelling like urine all the time. When we can seamlessly find a solution, get them dry, get them quality of life, regain their self-esteem, regain their self-worth, put less pressure on the family itself. And studies have shown that bedwetting is the third most stressful event that a family can go through. And it's not just a child going through it, which is horrible in itself. It's the parents, it's the sibling, it's the grandmother, it's the grandfather, it's everybody who's dealing with this. You go on a trip to Disney World in Orlando, you have to worry about wetting the bed in the hotel. It's not something you should have to live with as a family or deal with as a family. You're trying to go to work and you know you had to wake up three times in the night to wash up your child. Your child is going to school, like a zombie, not taking anything in at school. As soon as they come home, they don't have any energy to do their homework. Their concentration is poor because they're up all night wetting the bed. It's destroying the family from within, and it doesn't have to happen. So never let any urinary issues or embarrassment of having urinary issues stop you from seeking help, because there's so many things that can be done to prevent you from having the bladder control your life. And don't let fear and embarrassment stop you, because you only have one life to live. There's no need for you to have a poor quality of life. There's no need to have your child suffer and have low self-esteem that they'll never get over. It's going to affect their personality, and they may never rebound. So from the age of 6, you're supposed to be toilet trained. If by the age of 7 they're still wetting the bed, seek help. Don't let them go on and be withdrawn from society because they don't have the ability to wake up and urinate or control their urine. We also have to look at medications. There are certain medications that are going to cause you to have an overactive bladder, such as diuretics. You may have a condition called polyuria, where you're producing more than 3 liters of urine a day, and there are many reasons for that. So we always have to address the root cause, and in many cases, it's multifactorial. It might just not be one cause, but we, as a urologist, I'll always tell my patients, collectively, together, and I always encourage couples to come, we can find a solution, whether it's regaining you and allowing you to rise again and get an erection that you haven't seen in 10 years, whether it's allowing you to have a good night's sleep for the first time in 15 years because you've always been waking up five times in the night to urinate. We can always get you back that quality of life. All right, I'm getting in some texts that I'm sorry I've been ignoring. Hi, Doc, very informative show. I'm 2 months post-prostatectomy. I had a pretty good urine control, but recently seemed to have relapsed. What can I do? So I assume that's radical prostatectomy. So there's simple prostatectomy, which is for benign enlargement of your prostate. And then there's radical prostatectomy, which is for curative treatment for prostate cancer. And I'll also mention that curing prostate cancer doesn't necessarily need surgery. There are many ways that we can cure your prostate cancer minimally invasively. Even if you opt for a surgery, or surgery is the best option for you, it can be done minimally invasively with keyhole incisions. So unfortunately, because of the nature of the actual surgery, when we do a radical prostatectomy, We actually disconnect the urethra, the pee pipe, from the bladder neck and reconnect it. Sometimes there's going to be an issue where there's going to be some amount of stress urinary incontinence. So when you're active, you cough, you sneeze, you lift anything, you're going to have some incontinence. Unfortunately, even after radical prostatectomy, you can also develop what we call bladder neck contracture. So you can have scarring at the opening of the bladder, the outlet of the bladder. You can also develop urethral strictures, which are not very common, but that also is secondary to the surgery itself. So there are many things that can be causing you to have lack of control after radical prostatectomy. So the best thing to do, obviously, is seek a urologist's help. Unfortunately, Google cannot help you. I can't answer and solve your problem just over the radio, but trust me, we can find a solution to you. If it means that you have a weak musculature of your pelvis, we can send you for physiotherapy. But the first thing we need to know, is there an obstructive cause after your radical prostatectomy? Have you developed bladder neck contracture? Have you developed a urethral stricture or both? And then we can address that minimally invasively in an outpatient procedure. We'll talk again on the other side of the break. This is Urologist Speaks with Bahamian urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto.
This November, the Nassau Guardian is celebrating 180 years. And we want to thank you, our loyal readers, for helping to make this one of the oldest newspapers in the region. We want you to be a part of our Vision Challenge giveaway promotion beginning October 28th through November 22nd. All you need to do is find the hidden Nassau Guardian 180 years logo printed every day in the Nassau Guardian newspaper, and you could win prize money. Just purchase your daily Nassau Guardian newspaper every day beginning Monday, October 28th. Find the 180th Nassau Guardian logo, cut out the page, mark the spot, write your name and phone number on that clipping, drop off your entries at our offices on Carter Street in Oaksfield, and every Friday, November 1st, November 8th, November 15th, and November 22nd, one drawing will take place. It's that simple.
Mommy, guess what I did in school today?
Hold on, sweetie. Mommy's sending a text.
But Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, look, Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts.
Texan.
Brought to you by UB Radio and Guardian Radio 96.9.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back again. Thank you for joining me, Bahamas. This is Urologist Speaks on 96.9 with Bahamian urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto. We're talking about bladder issues related to men, women, and children, particularly overactive bladder. And again, I'm going to say stop letting the bladder control you and control your life. Regain control of your bladder, regain control of your happiness. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel. You should not be living your life based on where the next bathroom is. You shouldn't be going to bed dehydrated, stop drinking liquids at 5 p.m., 6 p.m. You shouldn't have to pull over to the side of the road every single day to find a tree if you're a male to urinate behind, or driving with a container to urinate into because you got to pee so frequently. Stop living like that. Urologists can get you back control of your bladder and your happiness. And it's not just a nuisance. You may have gotten your abnormal, it may have become your normal where you just deal with letting this dictate your life. You just deal with going to bed dehydrated or waking up 5 times in the night or feeling fatigued all the time or avoiding alcohol or avoiding caffeine. What you're doing can do other health ill health effects. You need to make sure you're well hydrated. You're affecting your quality of life. And not only that, it might not just be a nuisance to leak a little bit of urine. If you're not emptying your bladder, you can have irreversible damage to your bladder itself. Your bladder can only take so many knocks. You can have long-standing back pressure on your kidneys. If your kidneys cannot produce your urine and allow it freely drain down the tubes, the ureters in the bladder, and allow your bladder to contract and empty, and you're in retention essentially all the time with chronic incomplete bladder emptying, you're going to develop acute kidney injury. You're going to develop renal insufficiency. You're going to go down the road to having not only a non-functional bladder, but renal failure. And that is going to basically rob you of decades of years on this earth, and it's going to hasten your death. So listen to your body. It's not just a nuisance. If you don't have control of your bladder, if you're not emptying your bladder, it can be disastrous to your health. Another text coming in is asking, at what age does andropause begin? So essentially for men, at the age of 40, and every year after that, your testosterone level is going to fall at least at 1% per year. Some men is going to be at a higher rate than others because of many things, including either central sleep apnea or obstructive sleep apnea, or because of obesity, or for even some medications that you may have taken or may not have taken, or even, certain surgeries that you may have had. You may have had pelvic surgeries that cause you issues with testosterone production, or you may have had radiation for malignancy or chemotherapy. But essentially, you're going to start to have a deterioration and fall in your testosterone from the age of 40. For many men in this country, the fall in testosterone and the entrance into the andropause is going to be hastened by obesity, poor lifestyle in terms of sedentary lifestyle, poor diet, being overweight, and obstructive sleep apnea, where your testosterone is going to fall every single night. There are many men who recognize that they have low testosterone. They may or may not have gone and actually got a lab value that has shown them that they have low testosterone. It's always important to get not just a total testosterone, but also a free testosterone as well. It's important to get that blood value. It doesn't have to be a fasting blood, but what it should be is a value that it's taken, a blood that's taken in the morning, because precipitously your testosterone is going to fall after 11 a.m. So you want to get that blood taken to see the accurate result at 11 a.m. or before. So if you take in the afternoon, your testosterone level may be artificially lowered by as much as 20%, so you're not going to get an accurate result. You also can't diagnose low testosterone or hypogonadism just based on one reading as well. So you're going to have to get more than one reading. And then even if you do have low testosterone, we got to treat the root cause of that low testosterone. Just blindly giving you testosterone can be disastrous and even deadly, because if you have early prostate cancer, and for many men, they're not even aware that they do, and 1 in 6 men in this country are going to have prostate cancer in their lifetime. If you have low volume, early prostate cancer with little to no symptoms, and I keep hammering that message home, prostate cancer has little to no symptoms until it's too late. So if you're waiting for symptoms, you're waiting until it's too late. That's why it's fundamental that you at least get a blood test every single year from the age of 40 in the form of a PSA, prostate-specific antigen blood test. So if you do have early prostate cancer and you just every single month go for that testosterone injection, all you're doing is causing that early prostate cancer to progress, proliferate rapidly. So basically, you're committing suicide, and I'm not overstating that fact. It's deadly. It's irresponsible, and it's deadly. You never give testosterone to somebody unless you know what the cause of their low testosterone is, and we treat that root cause. And we also, if you're a male, we need to make sure that you don't have any form of prostate cancer, because we can cause that prostate cancer to become very advanced very quickly. We have a call coming in. Good evening. This is Urologist Speaks.
Hi, Yeah, Dr. Pinto.
How you doing?
Listening. I just called because I heard you mention something about strictures. And so two questions quickly because I was kind of a little busy, but I just would like for you to disclose this, you know, because I heard, and you're talking about the testosterone, right?
Yes.
And so then there's the dehydrotestosterone, and I remember, you know, reading years ago, but I'm saying which one, should they be balanced or which one should be higher than the other as it relates to cancer? And then with the strictures, right? How long should one wear a catheter? Because I remember reading and dreading something like a stricture. You remember that?
Yes.
Just hang up and listen. Great show.
Okay. So a stricture is essentially, breaking it down in layman's terms, we're talking about a urethral stricture. So that's a scarring that occurs within your urethra. And that can cause obstruction. So that can prevent you from emptying your bladder. That can cause what we call severe lower urinary tract symptoms, which can be obstructive or irritative, where you're peeing all the time and there's a weak flow and you're not emptying your bladder. It can lead to recurrent urinary tract infections. It can lead to acute kidney injury. And one of the leading causes of a urethral stricture is actually a sexually transmitted illness, disease. So you could have had gonorrhea, syphilis, being successfully treated for it, and even years later, you could develop a stricture, or a stricture could have been forming at that time, and you're going to pay for it later in years. So if you're not emptying your bladder, statistically speaking, if you're middle-aged, it's almost certainly related to an enlargement of your prostate, but there are non-obstructive causes if you're not emptying your bladder as well. It may be related to, as I mentioned, impairment of the nerves that allow you to facilitate you emptying your bladder. But anytime we do any surgery related to the prostate, or if we place anything in the urethra, whether it's instrumentation in forms of a scope, a cystoscope, which is a bladder scope, or putting in a catheter, if we do not remove the catheter properly, that means deflating the bulb correctly, if we ineffectively deflate the bulb, we can pull out the catheter with a partially inflated bulb. That in itself can cause trauma within the urethra that can lead to a cascade of you developing urethral strictures. It might not even be immediately, but months later or even years later. So in terms of how long should you put a catheter in, it all depends on the type of catheter. But across the board, you don't want to have a catheter in for more than 1 month. And the reason for the catheter, in many cases, some men are destined to have a catheter their whole life. We just have to change it every single month because they develop bladder dysfunction. They have a neurogenic bladder or atonic bladder where their bladder essentially doesn't function anymore. They didn't listen to the fact that for 10 years they weren't emptying their bladder. Their bladder took too many knocks. It stretched to an ability that lost its elasticity and ability to contract, and it doesn't function anymore. So even if we were to reduce the size of the prostate, your bladder still wouldn't function properly to allow you to empty. And you're going to either do what we call self-catheterization, putting a catheter in and out aseptically every 4 to 6 hours, or live on a catheter, which obviously no man can wants to live on a catheter because they're not going to be able to use their manhood. So again, let that be motivation. If you want to use your manhood and have your erections in great shape into your 80s until the God calls you home, listen to your body and don't let urinary issues rob you of your erections as well. So a catheter, if it's necessary, it could be life-saving. So many men will one day, after 2 years of waking up 10 times a night to urinate and leaking urine all the time and knowing that they don't empty their bladder, one day they just can't urinate at all. They go into the emergency room or they go into a urologist's office. We put in a catheter. You got a 1 liter of urine comes out. They feel immediate relief. The next question is, when is that catheter going to come out? The precipitating cause of you needing that catheter hasn't gone anywhere. That prostate that's been glowing slowly and progressively and becoming obstructive over the many years and you've ignored the symptoms of it hasn't gone anywhere. There's no magical pill that's going to shrink your prostate in a week, in a month. There is a medication that potentially can shrink your prostate 40-50%, but that takes 9 months to a year to work. So essentially, you're asking a man who has a massive prostate who cannot empty their bladder without a catheter to live with a catheter for 9 months to a year with the hope that the medication we're going to give you can potentially shrink your prostate to a sufficient size that you're going to be able to empty your bladder. And there may be 50% of these men who their prostate is so huge that even if we shrink that prostate by 50%, it's still very big, and you're not going to be able to empty your bladder. And that's where we have 8 or 9 different minimally invasive procedures that can, as an outpatient, shave your prostate down, or laser your prostate down, or vaporize your prostate to the size of a 20-year-old so you can pee like a 20-year-old. But let's not wait to the point where your bladder is not functioning anymore, because even if we reduce the size of your prostate, you're still going to have urinary issues for the rest of your life. So you only have one bladder. We only have 2 kidneys. Let's not take unnecessary knocks to it. We have another call coming in.
Dr. Pinto, one more question that yes. relates to what you were saying, because it was frightening for me, and you know, I was on the catheter longer than that. I'm sorry, remember how being the suprapubic catheter?
Yes.
Right? You remember that, right?
Yes.
And you walk in and scared me of that big thing, I'm right. So now what happened was I wanted to know it relates to the strictures and the effect on the bladder, because the suprapubic was much more convenient for me, even though it was below the navel, but as far as sexual encounters, right?
Yes.
So that's what I was ecstatic when I had that option. And so I just wanted to know if that has the same effect on the bladder as relates to strictures and the, you told me the bladder becoming distended and insensitive. That's very important to me. Thank you.
Yeah, so a catheter is made to be atraumatic. That means it's supposed to be able to pass without causing any trauma whatsoever. But it's unfortunately the fact that, as I mentioned, the main thing is that we'll remove it without deflating the ball. That in itself can cause trauma. But you can have a catheter for years, and if we have proper management of that catheter, you're going to have me at minimal to no risk of developing strictures. But sexually transmitted diseases can cause strictures. Even in the best of hands, unfortunately, because of the nature of the surgery itself, when you have a radical prostatectomy as a curative measure for prostate cancer, you can potentially, even many years later, develop either a urethral stricture or a bladder neck contracture. It doesn't happen very often, but if you have that history, that's the first thing we need to rule out. You also can have an issue where your external urethral sphincter, the muscle that allows you to control your urine, is either poorly functional or non-functional, and there are things that we can do. We can even provide artificial urethral sphincter. Many, many years ago, I think 70 years ago, I was the first one to introduce artificial urethral sphincters. And I had men who were leaking urine like a water faucet for 15 years, 20 years, unable to be intimate with their wife, not able to go swim in swimming pools, were able to be completely dry with a urethral sphincter, which is a minimally invasive procedure to provide that. So even in the worst case of scenario, where the sphincter muscle that allows you to control your urine is not working, we can provide something to allow you to get control. Never let the bladder control your life, and listen to your body. Don't come to the nth degree where your bladder is never going to function more than 60% that it should be because you didn't listen to your body for the last 10 years. If you have any issues for even weeks, much less months, seek help. There's no shame in seeking help. Get back your quality of life. And for men, I keep telling them, if the motivation is to maintain your erections, then use that as a motivation to get prostate cancer screening. Use that as a motivation to address the fact that you're not emptying your bladder, because that in itself can negatively impact your erections. How can you have a good erection if every time you want to be intimate, you feel like you need to urinate? The same thing with women. If they're leaking urine all the time with stress incontinence, or they need to feel like they're overactive bladder where they're having urge incontinence, they're not going to want to be intimate either, because during the act of intimacy, they're going to be leaking urine, and that can be very disastrous to the relationship and to the woman's self-esteem. So please listen to your body. I'm also going to hammer in something that I want to say with every radio show, and that is nobody needs to be dying of prostate cancer. Prostate cancer is a very easily treated disease that, if we can pick it up early, your chance of survival, for cancer-specific survival at 5 years, is 100%. Never allow your preteen to not get the HPV vaccine. 92% of cervical cancers can be prevented by getting the HPV vaccine as a preteen or teenager, even up to the age of 26. And that's for boys, girls, young men, young women. Please, if there was a vaccine for prostate cancer, if there was a vaccine that prevented breast cancer, everyone would be running to take it. But I do not understand why we have 30 or 40 people, women in this country, being diagnosed with cervical cancer every year, many times in advanced age, and dying needlessly. So I've said a lot. I thank you for your attention, and I appreciate all your support. We're going to have a very interesting show next week, and I look forward to talking again. Have a very good evening and good night, Bahamas. This is Urologist Speaks with Dr. Gregory Pinto. Good night.
It's time to take control. Get some help from the urologist.
You will find
he'll help you solve your problems
on 96.9. Yeah.
I'm telling you, with early detection
comes early prevention.
But lead in your pencil make you feel like a champion.
Rise up again.
Let nothing keep you down.
Live your best.